much about.
It's Valentine's Day. It's not the day you run away from love. It's the day you track it down, tie it up, and take it home.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I look around and I see all these beautiful people who are alone on Valentine's, and I think that there are other single people out there too. We just need to find them. There's a girl out there for all of us. There has to be a way to get all these lonely people together.
Net? Giant
not,
net?
Not a giant net.
What do you have in mind?
I was thinking maybe like a mixer.
Oh, God, that's a terrible idea.
Old-fashioned meat market.
No.
I don't think it is.
Lonely people mixing with one another, breeding, creating an even lonelier generation? You're not allowing natural selection to do its work. Like the guy invented the seatbelt.
You are a murderer of love!
And now...
Cupids and hearts. Really shoving our faces in it this year.
Our feature presentation.
Remember when The Office was good?
I sure do. It was really good, too.
Those were the good old days. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Thursday morning.
Indeed it is. So, you're an excellent driver, right, Kevin?
Best.
The best. What did you say yesterday? Top five or top ten NASCAR, if you were to run NASCAR. That's how good a driver you are.
Yeah, sure.
How'd you like to be this guy, Frank Le Cerf, who's a Frenchman, who is the latest.
I'm already going to know if he's a Frenchman.
I think this. I think we had a story last year, the year before, about this happening to a woman here in America, but this time it happened to a man in France. He's on his way to the supermarket, and he notices that the brakes in his Renault no longer are functioning.
Oh, no.
And what happens when your brakes don't work? You can't slow down. In fact, for whatever reason, and the car is still being looked at, for whatever reason, when he would hit the brakes at the very beginning to try to stop the car would speed up even faster.
Oh, wow. But can't he, like, downshift?
Well, it says here that there was nothing he could do. He was hurling down the highway at 125 miles an hour with no way to slow down, no way to stop.
Sweet.
Thank God he had a cell phone, because otherwise, how do you alert people that that's what's going on in your car? So he called emergency services, explained the situation, and they apparently did a pretty good job of springing into action and hooking him up with a police escort, getting other motorists out of the way. They called ahead and had toll booths open their gates so that he could zip on through. I mean, any one of these, if you're on the road, your only option is to run into something and to run off the road, right?
Then he got to his location, said, thanks, guys, my car's fine.
I was just in a hurry. A technician from Renault was patched through to Le Cerf's phone to attempt to try to figure out what the problem was, but to no avail. By the way,
it's like Apollo 13.
It is, exactly, yeah. It'd be very difficult to be having a reasonable conversation with somebody on the phone about what's going on with the car when you're going 125 miles an hour. Look, even if everything's been moved off of the road in front of you, that's still pretty fast.
Yeah, depending on the road and the curves on it, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's got curves in that road, that's rough.
By the time he ran out of gas, which is the only happy way this story could end, he had traveled 111 miles. Fortunately, it didn't take him very long.
Right. He did it in 50 minutes, so that was good. It's a record.
And had crossed the border into Belgium. It was near the Belgian town of Alveringham that he was finally able to bring the car to a halt inside the ditch. No physical injuries, but he was hospitalized after suffering two epileptic seizures.
Wow.
And he probably pooped himself, too, I would imagine, if not during the event, when it ended, just from sheer relief, I would imagine.
I pooped my pants.
You just relax. My life flashed before me, he said. I just wanted it to stop. Well, no duh, right?
That's the next time I'm in a car chase, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call 911 and go, I can't stop. I don't know what's going on.
That's a great
idea. Brakes don't work.
111 miles he went without being able to stop the car, though. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But again, I ask, if he didn't have a cell phone, what kind of shape would he have been in? There's no way he could have survived that. He would have hit something.
All the people that they got out of the way and the toll booths and all that stuff.
Yeah. So good times, people. Good times.
I mean, I could have handled it, but most people
not. I'm sure you could, yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. Brand new internet roundup today.
Oh, it's a good one.
Very excited about that. That is a good one. We have Ken Marino. Very, very funny actor who's in Burning Love 2, which is coming back. I guess it's on the internet now, but they're putting Burning Love 1 on E! Entertainment Television.
It's definitely one of the best shows you've never seen.
It's really funny, yeah. You can't vary from your routine. We're going to take calls from Bean. I mean, people like Bean.
I actually can't. We can't do that today.
It's the wrong day.
I can't talk to people on the phone on Thursday.
Yeah. Bean literally, is my policy. On Tuesdays, goes to IHOP. We found this out recently. And on Thursdays, goes to, I believe it's Denny's.
That's correct.
And
I cannot vary that schedule. Right. That's in stone. That's for real.
So there's some reason he can't go to IHOP on Tuesdays. He's thrown. What to do? So we're going to take calls from you if you can't vary from the routine that you have set up for yourself. And then we're going to give you a help number. We also have a guy who grows weed for a living. His name is Mike Bouton. I'm not sure.
I think it's Bouton.
The new TV show is called Weed Country.
I'm confused by the central premise of this show of putting people on television doing something that's illegal. Doesn't it seem like that's a recipe for arrest?
It does seem like it's not going to lead to good things.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do have cameras there, and they have an announcer.
But, I mean, there's that moonshine show that you like, sure. And they're doing essentially the same thing, which is, hey, this is illegal for me to make my own alcohol, but come get me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre, but it's fantastic. Staff Sergeant Matthew Blankenship is going to be on the program today. He is in a TV show called Inside Combat Rescue. And these are the guys that get in the helicopter, fly into, you know, the war zones where bullets are flying and jump out and give first aid to the soldiers. Mm. That's crazy. Who's with me on that? And being Valentine's Day, I have a great couples thing for you to do today. Strange Addictions was on last night. Learning Channel. By the way, Woman Who Eats Hair on last night.
Same episode.
Cat here. Yeah, same episode.
Awesome.
And the other couple on this one was the couple addicted to coffee enemas. Coffee enemas.
Regular or decaf?
Yeah, I don't know that they said. I think regular.
You gotta watch your health.
I think regular, by the way.
You don't want to get all jumpy.
And, you know, a mom very, very upset about it. The one doctor that they went to after about 5 years told them not to. You think that that made any difference to them? No.
No. Strengthen their resolve.
4 to 5 times a week? No. 4 to 5 times a day. How crazy is that?
The craziest.
And we also are going to qualify you for the K-Rock World Tour 2013. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The Killers in Buenos Aires, just after 6, so about a half hour from right now, we'll give you a chance to qualify for that. And we'll take a break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
I believe, as Kevin advertised, we're going to give away that chance to qualify to go to see the Killers in Buenos Aires, Argentina next. So we can open up the phone lines for you at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for what this time around, you guys?
We're looking for you if you have trivia questions about the Killers, because we got Rodney Bingenheimer up out of bed.
Oh, huge Killers fan.
Knows everything about him.
Okay.
About them. I apologize in advance. You're not going to be able to stump him, but Stump Rodney is coming up next. So if you have any question that you think will stump Rodney about the Killers, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
All right. And one person will be qualified for the trip to Argentina, destination number 5, the K-Rock World Tour 2013. And you will also win tickets to go see them at either the Honda Center or the Sports Arena in May. So call now and we'll get you on the air after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. You know, most guys in their 50s are probably saving up for their kids' college education, you know, trying to get them out of the house and off.
Yeah, I would think so.
Have them spread their wings as they leave the nest. Well, it's official. Alec Baldwin is going back on diaper duty. Yeah.
What?
He is having a child with his new wife, Hilaria. She is pregnant and expecting this summer. And it's good because Alec is a tender and loving father, and I think he's going to do a great job.
Sure. Raising. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
If he's raising a pig, it'll work out.
It's interesting, Ralph, that his very good friend Steve Martin, you told us yesterday, is also having a baby, and that'll give him something to bond over, I guess.
They had a bet. That's what happened.
That's what it is.
Who can get a young girl knocked out first? I can. No, I can. Apparently, he said he found out that his wife was pregnant, you know, the old-fashioned way. He heard screaming in the house. There's a scream I heard, which is a scream normally reserved if there's a spider in the house, he said.
Oh, no.
So I heard that scream again, but it was not a spider. Turns out Hilaria had taken a pregnancy test without telling him and was screaming with joy. But he thought it was horror. Yeah, joy. Ah, my husband's in his late 50s. He's going to be a father. Ah! Happy Valentine's Day, you sweethearts.
Out there.
I love you both. No, I'm talking to you and Kevin.
Oh.
And Bean.
Me and Bean?
Yeah, who are you? Which one are you?
I'm Kevin.
New York Daily News has compiled a list of the 100 most romantic songs of all time.
Aw.
You want to talk about the top 10 most romantic songs of all time?
All right, top 10. Most romantic.
Yeah, Kevin's going to love these because they're all old.
Oh, great.
Number 10, most romantic song of all time. Ray Charles, I Can't Stop Loving You. I can't stop loving you.
All right, don't know that one, but go ahead.
Michelle by the Beatles.
Sucky, go ahead.
Come on, it's awesome. He speaks French and everything. The King, Elvis Presley. Are you lonesome tonight?
There's no song in the last, say, two decades.
First Time I Ever Saw Your Face, Roberta Flack, was seventh. In My Life by the Beatles was sixth. You Are So Beautiful, Joe Cocker. That's a beautiful song.
Sure.
Fifth. I Just Called to Say I Love You, Stevie Wonder.
Oh, no! One of the worst songs ever.
No! No!
One of the worst songs ever.
There's
that
nothing romantic about that.
That is yeah, a horrible, is. Horrible song.
It's horrible.
Why not just make, who's the Lionel Richie? Lionel Richie, hello. Why don't you just throw that in there too for another horrible song?
We have very different tastes, Ralph, me, and Bean, and rarely do we all agree on one song. And this one blows.
It's one of the worst songs ever. It sounds like Stevie Wonder didn't write it; he had his poop write it.
His what?
His poop. His poop wrote
That's
it.
How bad it is.
That's how bad it is. Can you imagine a poop just sitting there with a ballpoint pen?
Come on, get to it. We don't have all day.
You Look Wonderful Tonight, Eric Clapton. That's a pretty song.
That's romantic.
I'll Be There by the Jackson 5 and My Girl by the Temptations.
No Closer by Nine Inch Nails?
No, oddly enough. Huh. I'm surprised.
It's weird.
Why do they not... I'm with Kevin. Has there not been a single decent love song written in the last 35 years?
One of the criteria was it had to be at least 10 years old to show that it stands the test of time.
Looks like it had to be 30 years old to see.
Yeah.
Some of them 40. Yeah.
What about this?
Balls, 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 balls.
That's the most romantic song of the last year, certainly.
While we're talking about celebrities and romance, the New York Post asked some celebrities about their most memorable love memories, and here's what several of them came up with. Uma Thurman said she would prefer loving a cheater than someone who doesn't flush the toilet. Those are her priorities. You can cheat on me, but if you don't flush the toilet, you are out. She is really into a clean toilet.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson said he has to disconnect his computer when he has a significant other during Valentine's Day. He says, because there's so much porn on the internet, he becomes a recluse sometimes. I like Jack more and more every time I hear something about him.
Most people try to deny that.
If you need me, I'll just be in my office. Could you hand me that lotion and a box of tissues? Oh. Thank you.
Oh.
And Jessica Alba said her very first kiss was to get another 10-year-old to pick her for his baseball team.
Okay.
Even then, she was using her sex as a weapon. That little minx.
Yeah.
Oh, the things I would do.
She wins.
Amanda Bynes back in the news. Oh, thank God. I was beginning to think we would never hear from her again. She's the best.
Is she still in her
she's
spiral?
Retired. She's retired now.
She's retired?
She's in New York. Oh, yeah, she's retired from acting. Now she's a designer, and she's an artist.
Sure.
She's still exhibiting some odd behavior. Neighbors of Amanda in New York say she has filled her apartment with red light bulbs in every single light socket.
Red light bulbs?
Red. It's the only color light bulb she has in her house.
It doesn't seem convenient to read by.
That would be like living in a horror movie.
Or a terrarium.
It's terrible.
Or a dark room. You could develop your film in the living room. I guess comes in handy. She leaves the front door open constantly. Never closes the door. So people walking by her apartment are always looking in.
Why does she leave the front door open?
I have no answer.
Okay.
And she is known to have hysterical laughing sessions at 2 a.m. in the morning in the community hallway there in the apartment building. She'll go into the hallway and just start
by herself
laughing hysterically at 2 a.m.
Wow.
That's good times. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays for today, the 14th of February. Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady of the Brady Bunch, is 79 years old today. Simon Pegg, what a great actor he is. Soon to be seen, of course, as Scotty in the next Star Trek movie. He's 43.
Great dude, too.
Our buddy Jim Jeffries.
Not so great.
Comedian, actor.
Star, I mean, great.
Legit is 36 years old. TV personality and former model Jules Asner is 45. Teller of the legendary Penn and Teller is 65. And TV personality Pat O'Brien, of course, radio host too here locally.
It's my birthday today, you know. I was talking to Sir Paul McCartney, good friend of mine, and we went to the Lakers game together. Kobe bought us some steaks. Kobe beef, of course.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 6.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7 K-Rock.
Now, Rodney, just give us a second. Still Kevin and Bean.
Coming up next, a song from Smile.
All right.
Actually, no.
Brian Wilson.
Here's the thing.
Years ago for the Beach
just
Boys.
Just pause right there, Rodney Bingenheimer. Here's the thing. You're a rock and roll legend. We're happy to have you, and we're going to be giving you phone callers who have questions about the band The Killers. They're
all
trying
right.
to win Killers tickets at the Honda Center or Sports Arena in May, and they're trying to be eligible for the trip to Argentina to see the band again. So you know a lot about this band, The Killers, right?
All right. Crowded House.
Nope.
Killers. The Killers.
You know The Killers, that band. That Smile, If Like You Mean It, that band.
Kajagoogoo?
I'm sorry, can I hear that again, Bean?
No, you can't.
Because I couldn't recognize that as a killer song.
I wasn't singing it. I was just giving him a title, of hoping he would recognize the thing. All right, let's just take some calls to stump Rodney.
Can you stump Rodney? Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
All right.
Why do you say wigwam bam?
That's Godhead.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough.
All right. Someone keep track because we are going to do a drawing at the end. Everyone who stumps Rodney is eligible for the grand prize drawing. In 5 minutes, someone wins. We'll start with line one and Greg, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show with a question for Rodney Bingenheimer.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, morning.
What's your question?
Rodney, what killer song was used in the Tim Burton movie, Dark Shadows?
Dark Shadows. All right.
You're a Tim Burton fan, Rodney?
Yeah, I love Dark Shadows.
Right. Oh, great. Okay.
Der Kommissar.
That's your
All
guess?
All right. Der Kommissar.
Der Kommissar.
What did I win?
Not a killer song.
All right.
Greg, is that right? Der Kommissar?
No, that is incorrect. It's a Raspberry song they covered called Go All the Way.
Wow. I didn't know that. I got to check that out. That's a good tip. Thank you very much. You are in the drawing. You stumped Rodney. Well done, Greg.
Usually it doesn't take that difficult of a question to somebody.
Theme from Greatest American Hero.
We're moving on now from that one. We're not even...
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
Joey, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Joey Scarberry.
Good.
That's right.
Stump Rodney.
What was the Killers' first single?
We Got the Beat.
Is it We Got the Beat,
All
Joey?
All right.
Negative. It's Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Brightside.
All right. What did I win?
Rodney, you were wrong. Didn't you get that out of that exchange?
We got the...
Rodney, you do know what band we're talking about, The Killers, right?
All right. Cure.
Killers, not Cure.
All right, the creatures.
Let's go to Jake. Hi, Jake.
Hi, guys.
Let's make it a little simpler now on Rodney. Go ahead.
All right, we'll try. Where were The Killers formed?
The Dream Academy.
That's not a place.
That isn't a place, Rodney.
It's the name of another 80s band, Rodney. We're not talking about the 80s here. The Killers.
Life in a Northern Town.
All right.
Where they're formed in a northern town.
Is that correct, Jake?
No, it's not.
No. What's the answer?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, of course.
Is that the single simplest Killers question that there is where the Killers
I would
from?
Think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so.
All right. You're in the drawing too, Jake. Thanks so much. Let's move on now to, let's go to Martin. He's got a tough question, but Rodney claims to know everything there is to know about the Killers,
All
so
right.
he'll probably know this one.
Rodney and the Rock Show.
Hi, Martin.
Godhead.
Hi there. What is Brandon Flowers' middle name?
Brandon Flowers' middle name, lead singer.
Tony Basil.
That's his middle name?
All right. What did I win?
You didn't win anything. You've been wrong every time.
Gary Newman.
Why do you think his middle name is the full name of another singer? Why?
Terry Nunn.
Martin, are any of those correct?
Berlin.
They are not correct. His middle name is Richard.
Richard.
Lee Nine. Rittenour.
Why? Okay, he already said the answer.
Julian Cope.
Right, let's go to Matt. See if Matt can stump Rodney. Hi,
you
Matt.
Feeling good about this, are you, Kevin?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
All right.
Hi, Rodney. What was the name of the Killers' first album?
Killers' first album.
Think
Killers'
back.
First album.
First album okay. title.
You know this one.
First you know this one.
Album.
Rodney, I'll give you a hint. It wasn't from the 80s.
Okay, right. Good hint. Good tip.
All right, Styx.
Why would you?
70s.
Okay.
All right.
And that was a Styx?
It was a Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
It wasn't Styx. That wasn't the name of their first album.
Styx, spelled funny. Okay.
Let's try one more. Let's try Mark, because I think maybe Rodney can get this one. Hi, Mark.
Okay.
All right.
Because we've already mentioned this person's name. Go ahead, Mark.
What's the lead singer's name of the Killers?
Kid Creole.
Now, think about the question before you answer, Rodney.
All right.
Kevin Coconuts. Gave you a hint. We've already said the name like five times in this segment. What's the Killers' lead singer's name?
Remember, Martin asked you his middle name, but he gave you the lead singer's first and last name.
It's not Kid Creole?
No!
No, it's not Kid Creole.
Kenny Loggins.
No, not Kenny Loggins.
Mark, is it Kenny Loggins?
I'm all right.
No, not Kenny Loggins.
What is it?
Brandon Flowers.
Carla Bonoff.
Brandon Flowers. Does Brandon Flowers sound familiar to you, Rodney? We've talked about him all day.
Tim Carnes.
Okay.
Let's do a drawing.
Everyone.
He's got Betty Davis.
I'm going to hit you right in your head.
Greg and Joey and Jake and Martin and Matt and Mark, they're all in the drawing. Only one can win the Killers tickets and be eligible for the trip to Argentina. Who's it going to be?
Bob Geldof.
The last person we talked to. Mark?
Yeah!
Congratulations. Right. Thank you for stumping Rodney.
All right, what'd I win?
Woo. You won nothing. You won nothing, Rodney.
Sheena Easton.
All right.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam.
Got to talk to a pararescue jumper. He's a guy who jumps out of a plane in Afghanistan to bring injured soldiers back to the hospital. That's his job. That's what he does when he wakes up in the morning. And he's going to be talking to us? That doesn't seem right, does it?
What a stud.
Guy probably, no kidding.
I'm going to ask him, but I don't know how, if he even has a gun.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a lot of questions for this guy. It's a fascinating look into a new show called Inside Combat Rescue. That's on the way. Speaking of new TV shows, one of our favorites debuted last night. It's back for another season, My Strange Addiction on TLC, which, as we know, stands for the Freak Show Network. Kevin, you watched it.
I did, and this is a couple named Mike and Trina. And they're addicted to coffee enemas. Now, what of the 50 states? Which one?
Florida.
Florida.
Is it really? Is it really Florida?
It is Florida.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
I'm addicted to coffee enemas. I instantly feel like all my pain in my body goes away.
My initial reaction was, my God, that's disgusting.
All right, so she's got a husband. At least it's got his head screwed on straight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he can maybe pull her back from the precipice if need be.
I hope so. Yeah.
So he's grossed out by it. Doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
My name is Trina, and I live in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, perfect.
And I'm addicted to coffee enemas.
Yep. Florida. St. Petersburg, Florida. Once a day? Once a week? Once a month?
Her addiction is so intense, she does up to four every day.
Four a day.
Do they say, I don't want to get ahead of your tape here, but do they say why this is effective for her? I don't know anything about enemas because I'm an exit-only guy, as you know, but I thought that was just to clean you out. I didn't know it relieves pain. I'm not sure I understand what her purpose is for taking all these enemas.
Well, she said she always had like stomach problems and intestinal problems, and that this helps, and it gives them energy, of course, because it's caffeine. But up to four times a day.
How do you even schedule your life when you have to stop and do that? Because that can't be a rapid process.
No. So they go back to Mike, the husband, and they say, really, what's going on here? And can you help her?
My initial reaction was, my God, that's disgusting.
Right.
But I tried it.
Oh, no.
And now I'm addicted to coffee enemas.
Oh, the only hope she had, her husband.
Imagine how happy the wife was the day her husband tried it, and he loved it too, because Woo-hoo! Now he's not looking at her with scorn.
How does it work exactly?
Four times a day, Mike and Trina fill a bucket with coffee.
They fill a bucket. How much coffee that is? A bucket. One coffee pot doesn't do it. Got two butts to take care of.
A hose attached to the bottom delivers the liquid to the lower intestine.
Once it's all prepped and at the right temperature, put the nozzle into your rectum, hold it up in the air.
Right. I think we understand how it works.
Why did these people agree to go on television?
I can't.
Why would you imagine. Want this to be your calling card to the world?
I really can't imagine. So she crazy, he crazy. What about his mom? How about his mom? She's in the picture. Maybe she can see things straight.
I do think it is just really kind of gross. Gross. I think it's gross.
She thinks it's gross. All right, good. So we got some hope. They have a lifeline. How do they do it exactly? Is it the same coffee, you might ask, Bean? Do they use different brands, different ways
decaf
of making the coffee?
We have totally different styles.
I like a finer, almost espresso grind. And I feel like that saturates the coffee solution more with caffeine.
I like it thicker because I feel like it's not as messy.
Yep.
Do they drink coffee also, by the way, or they only take it through the butt?
Butt.
Okay.
They don't drink the coffee. They just put it down there 4 times a day. But at least science, at least the medicine community has spoken out on this and ruled that it can be good for your health.
No medical study has ever confirmed any benefit to coffee enemas.
Oh, all right. Well, so. Okay, so there's not that. So finally, Mom has decided that it's time to have an intervention. She gets them both. They sit around the kitchen table. Mom tells them that she's worried about them and brings them back around. They finally decide that they see the error of their ways and they quit.
It's pretty concerning to me.
There's not a chance that I'm going to quit anytime soon.
Oh.
And I don't have any desire to.
Oh. We can't live without them.
Oh, okay. So they don't listen to her. They can't live without their coffee enemas. What is happening?
I don't know what's happening. I can't get my head around this.
But at least it's a leisurely day.
Turbo expulsion. I'm ready to pound that stuff out.
Don't ever want to hear any of those words in any kind of combination.
Turbo expulsion.
No.
He's ready to pound it out.
No, with the turbo
he's ready to pound it out.
There's no more messing around. I don't need to have any kind of major catastrophe in my bathroom, you know, and spend an extra hour cleaning that place up.
Now, wife finds this funny.
It could happen.
Have you ever had that happen?
No. If I did, I wouldn't admit it.
That's the couple right there.
Wait, there's something he won't admit?
He will not admit that he's ever had an accident.
Wow.
So
I don't know. Again, I'm the wrong guy, but I just don't know anything about these enemas. I mean, are there lots of different things that you can conduct enemas with with different results?
Listen, I don't know, but I do know that the medical community is not a go.
Right.
And Mom's not a go, and none of their friends are a go.
Yeah.
But they love to go.
They're on their own little poop island.
So you got that.
Coffee enemas.
You know, we could do a segment like this every day on the show where we talk to people who are way better than Kevin and Bean, but I have a feeling, Kevin, we're going to feel pretty low when we get off the phone with our next guest. He is Staff Sergeant Matthew Blankenship, and he's a way better American than we are. He's one of the people you'll see profiled on Inside Combat Rescue, which premieres Monday night at 10 on the Nat Geo channel. Staff Sergeant, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
It's an honor to meet you. Thank you for your service. Now, you are in the Air Force and have been for how long, sir?
I've been in the Air Force for 6 years, this month, actually.
Oh, okay. And you are also a medic or a doctor or both or what?
Not even close. I am a pararescueman.
Well, what is that if it's not a doctor or a medic?
A pararescueman is not called a medic because medics are not combatants. We do have medical training. Like, we are trained to the paramedic national registry, if you will.
Oh, I see.
You go through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like an EMT.
Training. Yeah, like an EMT.
But medics or doctors don't get dropped into hostile territory like you do.
True.
Yeah.
There are medics in hostile territory. They're on the ground, but they're considered non-combatants. And there are people like us who basically, as a PJ and a combatant, I have a weapon, really.
Tell us what PJ means.
PJ is a term that we use for military orders, you know, paperwork. Instead of writing pararescueman or combat rescue officer on a form, you write PJ or CRO.
Okay.
And every air crew position has one. Like a flight engineer that flies in the helicopter with us is an FE, and a gunner would be GR. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So, in other words, so there are medics that maybe are embedded with troops on the ground, and they can handle the minor injuries. They can handle a guy getting cut or something like that. When somebody needs to be essentially airlifted out, when they need more serious medical care, that's when you spring into action. You go down to the ground, get them, bring them back out, and then take them to a hospital.
Well, everyone, medics on the ground, they're trained. You know, there are some that are trained to the same standard as we are.
Right.
However, when they can't just have patients on the ground and keep them on the ground, you know, there has to be someone that goes out there and gets them.
Sure,
now,
sure, sure.
As a pararescueman, you know, and being in Afghanistan and flying with the HH-60 Path Hawks, the helos out there, our mission that you'll see in the series is the CASEVAC, or casualty evacuation. That's where, what you said, you know, fly out there, you know, fight our way in, rescue the guy, you know, get the handoff from the medic on the ground, and then, you know, peace out back to the hospital on base. Now, we have, like, that's not a PJ's primary mission. That our mission as a Guardian Angel weapon system is PR, and that's personnel recovery. And, you know, PR, like, put yourself in this situation. You're a pilot, right?
Yeah.
You're flying in Afghanistan in the middle of nowhere, you know, you're behind enemy lines, and you have some sort of malfunction, and you have to eject. So now you're floating to the ground, and you don't know where you are. You have very little anything on you. All you have is your flight suit and a radio, and you call in Mayday, Mayday, and we're the guys that are going to be coming out to get you.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
So a lot of times it's behind enemy lines, and there's a lot of live ammunition being thrown around.
True.
Oh.
So
now, is this something, I mean, that you sign up for specifically, Staff Sergeant? Is this something that you asked for, or is this something you are assigned to when you get this job?
It's completely – it's a voluntary job. So why did I enlisted in 2007 saying, hey, I want to be a pararescueman.
Now, why did you do that? What is it about that job that you wanted?
Well, a part of it was, you know, being convinced. My dad was in the Air Force for 24 years, but he did intelligence stuff. And, you know, being a part of the Air Force family made it easier for me to, you know, join the Air Force. And I wanted to do something, you know, that wasn't, you know, sitting at a desk. And I figure if I was going to sit at a desk, I'd be bored and I'd probably hate my job.
Well, you found something not at a desk.
Yeah,
mission accomplished.
I am definitely privileged.
The show is called Inside Combat Rescue. Again, it premieres this Monday night at 10 on the National Geographic Channel. They went along with you with a camera crew in the plane. Have you seen it, and do you feel that they did a pretty good job of showing us a representation of what your day-to-day is like?
I've seen some footage, and I'll tell you that it's extremely, if not the most accurate documentary I've seen. And, you know, they did things that I've never seen before. So they had five guys come out, and obviously they did what you would think a standard cameraman would do. They have the camera, and then, you know, they would mic you up.
Right.
And you'll see that in the show, like under our shirts, you'll see little tabs or whatever. And, you know, what they did that was cool, and it was amazing. You know, they didn't fly with us on the helos for missions, you know, because that's wasn't, you know, allowed.
Yeah.
But that gave them free rein to mount cameras on the helicopter, and it was, you're talking like 40 cameras, so all these different kinds of views.
On the helicopter that you're on that they can't go on.
Yes, yeah. That is true.
So it's like being a fly on a wall on your job. That's amazing.
Not only that, it gets better. So they even got cameras mounted on our helmets. So you're going to see
awesome
what we see in the show, like in the show.
They should have put a camera on each bullet.
That would be the next step.
That'd be an expensive show, Kevin. Well, I can't believe we're already out of time. It just flew on by. But, man, what a fascinating job you have, and what a fascinating TV show this sounds like. I mean, this sounds like about as close to combat as we'll ever get seeing this. This is amazing. Inside Combat Rescue, it's called. Again, Monday night on Nat Geo. Staff Sergeant Matthew Blankenship, thank you so much for the time. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Our latest Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up later on for you today. And by the way, you ought to go to KROQ.com and check out the bizarre video of the Harlem Shake that was done in the offices yesterday. It does involve a panda humping a ping pong table.
That happens,
so,
yeah.
KROQ.com if you want to see that. Also, one of the stars of Weed Country, a new show about growing the marijuana, and actor Ken Marino. It's all coming up here on KROQ. First, though, Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah, that's right. Here I am.
Okay.
Now what?
Well, we were hoping you would tell us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, indeed. First things first, we're almost sold out at the Long Beach Laugh Factory for this weekend. Saturday night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show down there in Long Beach, down the LBC. Say hello to some folks down there. And just a few tickets left. So if you're interested in going, go to CSMOD, S-E-E-S-M-O-D, CSMOD.com, and get your tickets there. Or you can go to the Laugh Factory Long Beach website and check
Sunday,
it out.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
No, Saturday. Saturday at 10 p.m., yeah. Now, let's take care of a little business. What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. Remember earlier this week when I had to apologize, when I tucked my tail between my legs and say, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I was wrong. Please don't be mean to me.
Because this is when you were defaming that young woman who was completely innocent, if I recall.
Oh, Haley Hasselhoff?
Yes.
Daughter of David Hasselhoff?
Trash about her.
I reported initially she had gotten a DUI, and then, the gates of hell opened up, and the hounds of hell were released carrying hammers from hell. And I'm going to call this woman out by name because it's important that we know all the players.
All right, good.
On the field. Mona Loring is her name. She is a PR person. Mona Loring is her name. She is Haley Hasselhoff's representative, her PR person. And she said, I was spreading rumors about Haley, that she didn't get a DUI, and that no such thing happened, and it was a speeding ticket, but it was not a DUI, and everyone should stop lying about the family. That's what Haley said. Everyone's been lying about her family in the media, and blah, 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 blah.
And well, then you had a full retraction. You said, I'm sorry.
So I went back in the air and said, I misquoted. I didn't misquote, but I read the story, and it was wrong, and I apologize, and I couldn't have been more apologetic and tried to correct it to the best of my ability. Well!
Cut to
E! Entertainment News, which has gotten its hands on the document itself, the criminal complaint, which clearly states, Your Honor, that Haley Hasselhoff, 20-year-old daughter of David Hasselhoff, has officially been charged with a DUI by the city.
Wait, why are the kids happy?
Because
Ralph is vindicated. The kids love Ralph.
The City of Los Angeles Attorney's Office has indeed arraigned her for speeding and for operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of an alcoholic beverage or a narcotic. So.
You apologize too soon.
What's up? That's what I'm saying, basically. Mona Loring. I'm hoping there will be a follow-up email, Miss Mona Loring of the PR firm Mona Loring PR. I'm hoping there will be a follow-up email.
How about an apology from you?
It says, oh, you know what? I was right. Haley Hasselhoff got a DUI. Can I stop by and kiss your ass today? And being the forgiving nature soul that I am, I'll say, come on by, Mona. That's what I'll say. All right, today's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. To find the person you love and just give them a big squeeze and give them a box of chocolates and give him a rose and a card and just be nice. Be nice to that person.
Okay.
We were talking last hour about the New York Post's list of top 10 romantic songs.
Yeah.
And we said that's some BS right there.
Well, they're 60 years old.
Where do you hear this one?
Not even that all of them are terrible songs, but seriously, put in some research and give us something current.
How about the biggest love songs of all time?
Biggest.
Biggest. This
meaning
comes
most popular?
From Billboard. This comes from Billboard magazine. So this is best-selling romantic songs of all time. Does that sound like a more legitimate list?
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Here we go.
You'd think.
Number 10, I Can't Stop Loving You, Ray Charles. The same song it was on the other list.
Song.
Best of My Love, The Emotions, was number 9. Because I Love You, Stevie V.
Oh, dear God.
Was 8th. Let Me Love You, Mario, was 7th.
That's a good song.
I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston, was 6th.
Well, that one's got to be.
And
I think we know what that is.
Will always love you.
That wasn't even on the other list.
No. Wait till you hear number 5 on this list. This is Billboard biggest selling love songs of all time.
Chacarone?
No.
Can I guess, Ralph?
Number 5? You want to guess at number 5?
I do.
Okay.
Balls, 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 balls.
Worse.
Bean didn't think
the actual song is worse than the one I'm going
to
say.
Bean didn't think that one would go to number 1, so he was guessing at 5. Worse than
Silly
that.
Silly Love Songs by Wings. Paul McCartney and Wings.
Oh, my God. Isn't that a parody of a love song?
Nope.
That is craptastic.
How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees was 4th.
Ugh.
We Found Love, Rihanna. There we go. There's a little something-something.
Somebody born in our lifetime, good.
I'll make love to you, boys to men.
I'll make love to you.
Sure. You want to guess what the number one best-selling love song of all time is?
Open Gangnam Style.
You got it.
Gangnam Style.
What?
Number one love song of all time.
This is science. This isn't guessing.
This is sales. This is Billboard, the Billboard list of the top 100 songs.
It
love songs.
Better not be I Just Called to Say I Love You by Stevie Wonder. I'll punch someone.
No, it's not. Okay, thank God. Thank God that's not the
case.
Is
it
Creepy Clown Time by David Lynch.
I can't
When I say it, you're going to go, oh, yeah, of course.
Number one best-selling love song of all time.
The one from Titanic in the rock and roll era.
Oh, great guess, Kevin. My Heart Will Go On. Alex?
My Heart Will Go On. Maybe they're not considering that a love song.
Oh. I don't know then.
Endless Love.
Ah.
From Diana Ross and Lionel Richie.
70s? Yeah. 80s?
Oh, you know what I realized? This song, this list is all songs that have love in the title. So that's probably why My Heart Will Go On is not on the list. Probably.
Okay.
All right. But Endless Love.
Yeah.
But Diana Ross and Lionel Richie was number one. Biggest selling love.
I remember. Song. Yeah, that was big. So.
Yeah. Sure was.
We certainly would have a different list here. Everlong sure from would. Foo Fighters would certainly be one of them.
That's a great love song.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga has canceled the rest of her tour. She has a hip injury and needs to get surgery right away.
Wow.
Then she's going to have to rest. She'll have to stay off that hip for a while. She had 21 more shows left on the Born This Way ball tour, and now she's going to have to sit down. So
she's awfully young to be having hip problems.
Apparently it's all the dancing and stuff and everything that she does gets her all hippy.
Happens to me occasionally when I dance too much.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And plus, you're also trying to put your ankles behind your ears.
That's true.
That's never good for your hips. My birthday list is in the other room. So, wait a minute. Do we have him over here? Look at that. Look at Mugs to the Rescue. How often do you have to say that?
Never.
Simon Pegg, one of my favorite actors, 43 years old today. Jim Jefferies, comedian and actor, friend of the show. He is 36. Teller of Penn Teller is 56. Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady, turned 79 years old today. And Pat O'Brien, radio personality, TV personality, Pat O'Brien. Good friends, Kobe. He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
One of the pot growers from Weed Country joins us later in the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the hilarious actor Ken Marino from Party Down and Children's Hospital. And, of course, what's the new one called? Burning Love 2. Yeah, he's the funniest. I am very excited about that coming in. First, though, apparently it's Make Fun of Bean Time.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
How dare you?
Bean has Asperger's.
I don't have Asperger's.
I know it sounds funny with a B, but it's actually a P, Asperger's. And he has a lot of trouble with a lot of things. Relationships with people, not good at.
However, I have been married for 21 years, by the way. I'd like to point that out.
Because you got so – you're the luckiest person on the planet that she's got the sense of humor that she has.
And she's tied up in the basement and hasn't been out since the 90s.
All right. So I've been fascinated because Ralph brought up that it was free pancake day on Tuesday or something like that. And Bean got upset. And I was very shocked that Bean would get upset about free pancake day at IHOP because Bean loves IHOP and free pancake day seems right up his alley.
I love pancakes. They're my favorite food in the world. Pancakes and toast are the two best foods in the world.
All right, take it easy. This is not what we're talking about. So Ralph says today's free pancake day. And Bean goes, oh. And we were like, what? We thought you'd support that. And Bean said, Tuesdays is my IHOP day. That means everybody's just get all these posers are just going to be at IHOP to get the free pancakes. And we said, just go Wednesday. Unheard of. Not even consider. I mean, that's not even a consideration.
Well, obviously,
Bean
I can't go Wednesday.
If Tuesday's
my IHOP day, Kevin, obviously I can't go Wednesday. But look, I don't want to show up for my regular IHOP Tuesday and like on St. Patrick's Day when all the non-drinkers show up and crowd the bars. It's the same sort of thing. I don't want all those pancake posers in there sit in my spot.
But my point is I don't have a standing restaurant day. You know, it's like whatever sounds good. Maybe I'll order a pizza. Maybe, you know, we'll make burgers at home. But there's no Tuesdays I have to go to IHOP. That's Rain Man stuff.
Wait.
Definitely got to have watch Wapner. Definitely got to watch Wapner.
You would eat a pizza even if it were hamburger day?
No. I'm saying anything to me, whatever sounds good. I don't have a system. I don't have a day where I have to go to a restaurant or it throws me completely off. That's an Asperger's thing where you have a routine. And if you can't follow your routine, you are thrown off. But, and not just a little bit, but seriously thrown off.
So you're an anarchist, basically. You just want to throw all the rules out the window.
I'm a food anarchist.
You just want to live in complete chaos and have no idea when you wake up in the morning what you're going to be eating and when.
Yeah, sort of fun that way.
That's weird.
Sort of fun that way. So Bean goes to IHOP on Tuesdays and cannot vary from that. And then on, I guess the only other day is Thursday?
Thursday is Denny's, right. Yeah, I go to Denny's on Thursday.
Now, have you ever just gone crazy, maybe done a couple of shots and went to Denny's on Tuesday and IHOP on Thursday?
I'm not an animal. What? Why would you suggest something like that? No, I've got a system. I got something that works and will always work.
Have you ever not felt so well and just not gone?
You still have to go, dude.
No, you can't just not show
up.
No, I'm. If you don't feel well,
no, you still go.
All right. So we need some calls. B needs to know he's not alone. He believes everyone's with him, but give us a call 1-800-520-1067 if you're the type of person who has a routine. And varying from that routine really throws you off. I mean, you may not die over it, but it's close. It's a close call.
There's some comfort, Kevin, in knowing the security of a schedule and knowing where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing at a certain time on a certain day.
That I'm not a fan of schedules. No, it's the opposite for me. I hate schedules. And when I'm on vacation, you know, I'll wake up in the morning, I'll go, I don't have any plans. This is awesome. I might go see a movie. I might do whatever. I might watch something at home. I might catch up on Lakers games. I don't know, but it's a really freeing feeling to not have a schedule. Schedules blow. Routines blow.
I don't like it when it gets jumbled, though. I don't like it when it just falls apart.
When it's all willy-nilly?
Yeah, it's not a good feeling at all.
Do you keep your routines on vacation? You still go to IHOP, so go to Denny's?
Totally. Absolutely, yeah. Huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a security blanket.
And I do sit in the same seat, too, when I go to those places, too.
You do?
If I can, I just sit as close as I can.
You just wait till that person leaves?
I've done that.
Give them the stink eye? No, you haven't!
I have. If the person... Well, I sit at the counter at Denny's like a 30s hobo, but if the counter is... If the guy is... It looks like he's halfway through or more of the meal, I will just sit and wait until my seat opens.
What if the seat next to him is open? What if all the other seats at the bar are open except for the one he's sitting at?
I prefer to wait for his seat if I have time.
That's
if I can, I will wait for his seat.
Unbelievable to me.
It's just more comfortable. It just feels like you're in the right place at the right time that way. Just everything's out of sorts. It's like sitting in a different seat is like wearing shoes that are too small. You know what I mean? It's just not a good fit.
If you've gone crazy or something, I mean, if you've gone crazy, I'm just saying, that's something I need to know about. Okay? I mean, that affects me.
It's not crazy, but
one person is sitting in Bean's seat. He can't sit anywhere else.
I do suspect that we're going to find other people that like to have a schedule. They have a system. They got a place that they want to be at a certain day at a certain time.
Hold on. This is more than likes to have a schedule. This is must follow routine or all hell breaks loose. That's not just enjoy schedule.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls on what's the routine that you don't ever want to break if you have a choice. We'll take your calls right after this on the world famous. So we're talking to my people on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning at 1-800-520-1067. People who just don't want to let the world just get away from all willy-nilly. People who want to have a system. They want to have a plan. They want to have a schedule. They want to know what's going on. Why don't we start with, let's start with Marlon. Marlon is on line 7. And I think he sounds like a right-thinking, good American.
I'm sure you do. Hi, Marlon.
Hey, what's up, man?
Those of you just tuning in, Bean goes to IHOP on Tuesdays, goes to Denny's on Thursdays, and will not deviate from that program, even if he's sick.
You're with me, right, Marlon?
Yep.
All right, what's going on in your life?
What's your routine that you can't get away from?
Well, I don't know if this is from, like, you know, elementary when they make you sit in, like, the same seat every day, but now in college, whenever I go to my class, there are certain classes where, like, you know, I have, like, a seat that I just happen to sit in every day, but other classes, like, it's always random. Like, people end up sitting in my seat, and I guess that does throw me off.
Yeah, I was going to ask what happens if you show up and your seat is taken.
Yeah, like that actually happens in one specific class only, and it does kind of throw me off because it's like that same person
sits in
my seat. So I'm guessing that's like the bean of my class.
That person is the Kevin of your class, because if I found out what seat you had to sit in, I would always sit in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, there we go. I got it backwards.
Well, Marlon, you need to, I sympathize with your problem. It's terrible, but you need to handle it the way I do, which is to always carry a taser with you. That's how you handle a situation like
that. I'm not sure that's the best advice.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Marlon. Let's go to Jason. Jason's on line 3, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show, 1-800-520-1067, talking about routines you cannot break. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, thanks. What's your routine?
Okay. My routine is every time I go to Disneyland, me and my son both have Asperger's, so every time we go to Disneyland,
Hold on 1 second. Hang on just 1 second, if you don't mind. Bean, did you see how easy that was for him?
Because he has Asperger's. No, I don't. I'm completely normal.
Did you hear
That's
him?
Why.
He just threw it out there like, me and my friend both have Asperger's. And then he went out with the story. It's just irrelevant. But
right. But that's just his situation. Look, if he said I was black, should I then say I'm black? No, we're different.
No,
I don't have the Asperger's.
Right. All right. Go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry. So Disneyland.
Anyway, so every time we go to Disneyland, we always go to the left, which is Adventureland. And we start the whole thing. And then we go make a big circle and we end up in where Space Mountain is.
Have you ever gone just out of your mind crazy and headed to the right when you enter?
No.
You always have to do them in the same order.
Yes, we do, because I feel like I miss them. And if I miss something, then I get pissed off.
But what if you went to the right and you made the same circle, you're not going to miss anything.
No, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
No. All right.
Jason's right. Don't ask him to do crazy stuff, man.
All right, sorry.
Thank you for the call. Christine writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I have to eat my food in the same order every meal. Veggies first, then the other side dish, then the entree. Always. And I have to finish one before I can move on to the next. By the way, that's how I eat my Denny's and my IHOP too, is I have to eat the eggs first, and then I have to eat the chicken sausage and the turkey bacon, and then I eat the pancakes last, in that exact order every single time.
What do you do if they're out of something and they can't bring you one of those four items?
Well, that's never happened.
You turn the table over and start yelling at people?
That hasn't happened, but I mean, you're giving me shivers just thinking about it. I show up one day and all of a sudden they don't have eggs, they don't have pancakes, they don't have chicken sausage.
Just saying something happened that day and they're out.
But that's a very reasonable email from you too, Christine. I thank you for that. All right, I think we're out of time, but these are my people, and I love them, and I support them, and I thank them for calling.
As a fellow Asperger-having person.
How dare you?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:36. Let's talk about a true American hero.
Deep in the heart of the Northern California mountains, marijuana growing season is underway.
You're growing in your front yard.
They stand to make millions.
It's just a business that can't fail.
Or be locked up for years. It's a decades-old battle between cops, dealers, and growers. Using 21st century science to make the most powerful weed on earth. This is the story about America at war with itself.
This is weed country. We will never stop this. Ever.
USA! USA! USA!
Weed country. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Weed Country premieres Wednesday, February 20th on the Discovery Channel. And one of those great American hero pot growers is Mike Budin, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the props there.
Of course. All right. That's fine. Thank you. So the first obvious question I have for you is, you're obviously a talented farmer. You've been working the land there for 35 years. Do you choose marijuana just because it's the most profitable of all the crops you could grow?
No, actually, you know what? I choose marijuana because it works for me. I choose marijuana because it saved my life, and it saves other people's lives, and that's really why I do it.
Now, today, 18 states and Washington, D.C. have legalized medical marijuana. 10 other states are supposed to legalize it for recreational use, but what are the laws like for growing? Is it all right anywhere?
No.
Not all right anywhere.
No.
Well, it's good that you're on TV then, Mike.
Well, the thing is that marijuana is not even legal to grow in California. You have an affirmative defense for medicinal use. That's really it. So jurisdictions can really make it up as they go and cause you to have to get an attorney and let the judge decide.
Now, Bean just brought up an interesting point, which is if the government has said growing marijuana is bad and they have law enforcement you know, people out there that are trying to enforce the laws, why would you go on TV on a show called Weed Country and almost, I mean, listen, we're behind you. We support you, but almost.
But you're turning yourself in, basically. Almost you're giving them all the evidence they need to convict you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but listen, they already know where I'm at. I get flown every summer. There's drones where I live. There's, you know, airborne aerial surveillance. They already know, and you're never going to change anything. And we seriously need to change the marijuana law in our country.
No question.
Travesty.
No question.
Yeah, we totally agree with you on that. We're just trying to figure out what your day-to-day life is like, Mike. I mean, how many times have you been arrested for growing weed?
I've never been arrested for weed, period. And, you know, I guess maybe I'm just lucky. I don't know.
But wait a minute. Hold on. You're not just lucky because, A, you grow marijuana. B, it's against the law. C, the authorities know where you are. There's got to be more to it than maybe I'm just lucky. How do you hide?
Well, I don't hide, and that's the thing. And maybe that's it. Maybe the fact that we do it right, that we actually look after people and, you know, we're actually trying to help. And we're not the thugs getting rich off this game. So maybe that's it. Maybe they got bigger fish to fry than
So you're supplying medical marijuana to people who really need it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you also sell for recreational use as well, I would imagine, Mike?
Yeah, I'm totally. I think that we need to legalize marijuana in our country for all adult use, including industrial hemp.
Well, yeah, it certainly should not be the most dangerous drug. It should not be in that category. That's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard of.
This is the voice of Mike Booten here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. He's on the show Weed Country, premiering on the Discovery Channel next Wednesday. You said something interesting when you came on, sir, and that was that weed saved your life. Tell me how.
Well, you know what? I can't speak for other people, but not everybody gets the best shake in life. Not everybody gets to choose their parents. They don't get to choose their home life. And, you know, when you grow up learning life through violence at the end of a hand or at the end of an instrument, you know, that's going to leave a mark. And marijuana just gave me a place to sort of sort things out. It's like a sunscreen for a soul that's been singed by human cruelty. And that's just one of the things marijuana can do.
I'm going to write that down later. That's very poetic.
That's beautifully put.
Yeah.
And Mike, I saw your very attractive wife on the show who really seems to be like one of those kind of hippie chicks who's at one with the earth. Man, does she love those plants.
She does. And you know what you'll get to see, actually? I don't want to give away too much, but you'll see exactly how much she does care about them. You know, she has some issues, and when she does, you know, it's a terrible thing.
Do you think she likes them more than you do? I mean, then she likes you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay.
one of the things that's interesting about you, Mike, in all the years that you've been growing marijuana is that you directly provide it to the patients, the marijuana patients. I mean, you're driving all over the state delivering this stuff, which kind of puts yourself at additional risk. How come? Can't you go through a dispensary or some sort of third party to kind of take some of the liability off of you?
Well, I could do that, but here's the thing. You know, the law doesn't really provide for that. I mean, you know, people say it does, but basically 215 allowed for people to collectively work together and help each other, not go through middle people. So yeah, I'm just trying to make sure. I'm trying to give them lots of reasons not to come after me.
Oh, so you're more in keeping with the law by going straight to the people who need it rather than going through dispensaries.
Absolutely. And
I
mean, I believe in dispensaries. We need to have them. I'm not against dispensaries.
Right.
You know?
Interesting.
Can we give you the address of our radio station? It would solve a lot of problems for us.
We do have some uptight people in the office in management. Yeah. Mike, what's the competitive situation been like over the decades that you've been growing pot here in California? I would imagine that every year there must be new people doing startup businesses, right?
Oh, my word. Well, they call it the green rush. And you know, our county, Trinity County, has been just over the years, last few years, just filled with people that have come to do their thing. And it's competitive in that sense. And it's also, you know, people will come after you if they don't like you. The TV show caused me some trouble, having the TV camera.
Now, wait a minute. Back up 1 second. What does it mean people will come after you if they don't like you, specifically?
Well, it means they may sneak in the middle of the night, pull your plants out of the ground. It means that, you know, they may drive into your lane, you know, when you're coming down the road just to send a message, hey, we don't want you around here.
Really?
Wow.
Pretty much drive you off the road?
Yes.
But you're an American hero.
This is kind of like, it sounds like moonshiners during Prohibition, having to, you know, having kind of the same kind of struggles that you're having here in 2013.
No, it's exactly like prohibition. It's as moronic as alcohol prohibition, and it's just about as effective.
Well, the show is a fascinating look at something that we don't usually get a chance to get that up close and personal with. I mean, we only know our dealer. You know what I mean? We don't know what it's like to actually be on your end of producing this stuff, but the program is called Weed Country. It's a 6-part series premiering on Wednesday night on the Discovery Channel. Are you happy with the way everything was shown in terms of how it relates to you and your family?
Yeah, what I've seen so far, and I've just seen a little bit, but what I've seen is I feel really good about it. I feel like they represented it really well from all sides, and, you know, they can only use what I said. So, you know, I'm going to have to own anything that they edit in or out. So,
gotcha. Well, it's a fascinating-looking show, man. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again. After you, next time you get, you know, when you finally do get arrested after the show gets on the air, call your attorney first, then call us second, okay?
I'll do that. Hey, one more thing before we go.
Yep.
I have a weekly radio show, Fridays at 5 o'clock, called Cannabis Nation Radio. And we interview an expert a week on this problem and this issue.
Where is it? Where can people find that?
CannabisNationRadio.com.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for being our guest today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You bet.
Valentine's Day, we got something special for the ladies. Actor Ken Marino. The chicks love Ken Marino, right?
Yeah, he's good looking and he's funny and he's smart. God, I hate him.
I know, we've got our crush on him.
You know, I know it's good news, though. He's weak. Found out he's weak.
He's weak, really?
weak man.
How do you know that?
Because, you know, he came in and we had a box of Valentine's Day cupcakes there in the office.
Right.
And Dave said, oh, would you like to have a cupcake?
Did he understand what Dave was saying?
No, I had to translate. No. I said he doesn't use vowels well. It's a cupcake. And he said, no, no, I'm gonna stay away from those. I turned my back. Next thing I know, blah, blah, blah. I think he's had like four of them.
You didn't mock him. You didn't have to talk him into it.
I said, you're weak. You're weak.
I mean, before he started.
Oh, no, we didn't pressure him. We just offered.
Wow.
He just crumbled.
He is our gift to you, the ladies, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He joins us in studio. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Good news for fans of Rob Zombie. New album coming out from Rob. His fifth solo effort will be out on April 23rd.
I always like Rob Zombie.
I do too, and you're going to like him more than ever because it's got the greatest CD title of all time.
Wow.
Okay.
Here's the title of the new Rob Zombie solo CD.
Can't wait.
Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor. Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor.
Never be able to say it, but I'll enjoy it.
Now, I am curious to know, Is the vendor selling a venomous rat regenerator? Or is the vendor selling a rat regenerator and the vendor himself is venomous, or are the rats venomous? I'm perplexed.
Maybe we can get him on the show and ask.
I'm stunned.
A lot of questions.
First new single off the CD will be called Dead City Radio and the New Gods of Supertown.
I have that. You want to hear some of it?
Sure, yeah. You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. No. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost. No, that's Tom Waits.
Going a different direction
this
time.
Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie, huge Kings fan. I always see him at Kings games. Always there.
He's making a movie about the Philadelphia Flyers.
Is he really?
Yes, he is making a motion picture about my beloved Flyers during their legendary Stanley Cup run in the 70s.
When they were good?
As the Broad Street Bullies.
Wow.
When they would just beat teams into submission and they pretty much just mugged the rest of the league to take the cup that year. It was good times.
Slugged their way right to the cup.
I don't know if I'd be swinging around any hockey slander if I were you there, Kings boy. How are they doing
in the
West?
I thought I could slip it
in.
How
are they doing over there in the West?
They
have a firm hold in the basement?
Yeah, but we did last year as well.
So that's
our plan.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't win the cup unless you're the eighth seed.
You start out poorly. And then everybody underestimates you. They always pick the other team to beat you, and then it's just upset city, man.
Don't make me slap you down. Amanda Bynes is in the news. She's getting weirder by the minute. Neighbors are telling the press that Amanda always leaves her door open in her apartment. Anytime you walk by, the door's wide open, and she's just in there doing
stuff.
Not just
stuff unlocked, but
wide
open.
Like she wants.
That's not a sexual euphemism, is it?
No, no. They know about her life because the door is open, and they can tell that in her apartment she has nothing but red light bulbs.
Like the red light district in Amsterdam?
Maybe that's why the door is always open. Maybe Amanda's making a couple bucks on the side, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
She's also been known to shock everyone in the building by going into hysterical fits of laughing at 2 a.m.
Oh, that's always great.
Yeah. Nothing helps you get a good night's sleep than a crazy person laughing outside your door in the hallway.
You're weird.
Wait, she goes out in the hallway to do it?
Yeah, she does in the hallway.
No laughing in the apartment.
Well, no, can't with all those red lights. It's a bummer in there. What's funny about that apartment? Sad news. I hate to break this to you, boys and girls, but looks like Honey Boo Boo's mom, Mama June, will not be joining the cast of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's the only... Oh.
Yeah, TLC has stepped up and shot down the rumor that she'll be joining the cast. So,
that's a shame.
They say really it might have been a bit difficult for Mama June to even compete, given the fact that she's now weighing in around 263 pounds.
Mm.
She's dropped 100 pounds since her height of 365 last season. So slimmer, but perhaps not in competitive dancing shape.
Remember how much weight Kirstie Alley lost when she was on that show?
Absolutely.
She sounds fat.
Well, you know why? Because she is.
She is.
Sure, there's that.
I don't know what that was. Is that her?
That's June.
Is that June?
Oh, how sexy. Is she drowning in a pool of cheese balls? Or is she face down in the sketty? I don't understand why that... Someone call paramedics!
What is happening?
June's face down in the sketty bowl again. And sad news for our buddy Jeff Probst. CBS TV syndication folks have canceled his TV talk
show.
He's
a good guy.
The Jeff Probst Show. Yeah, I was pulling for him. I was hoping it would happen, but sadly, he will not be there. Don't feel too bad for him. He's still a producer and host of Survivor, which began last night. I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying. Dying to see it, because last night we did the Fox Shortcoms thing that Kevin Smith and I were talking about.
Oh, right.
Little mini sitcoms. We did a pilot last night, and it was a long night. But it turned out to be a very funny night.
Freeberg got kicked out. Sorry.
How dare
Malcolm
you?
Malcolm Freeberg.
You're making that up.
I am making that up.
Spoiler.
I didn't watch it.
All right. I got to catch up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, speaking of Smith, if you want to come see us in Long Beach, Laugh Factory, Saturday night at 10 p.m. You can go to the Laugh Factory site there and get tickets. There's still some left, we believe. Today's celebrity birthdays. Florence Henderson is 79 years old today. Teller of Penn & Teller is 65. Jules Asner is 45 years old today. TV
now, she's the one who's married to Steven Soderbergh, right?
I want to say yes. I think she is. I agree.
Right.
Simon Pegg. How good an actor is that guy?
The best.
I love him. 43 years old today. Jim Jefferies, our friend, comedian, actor, is 36.
You're not watching legit. You are missing a great TV show.
That is an insanely dark, funny, funny show.
It really is.
And radio and TV personality, Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien from The Insider. Lara, you know, I was talking to my good friend, Sir Paul McCartney, the other day. We were jamming.
I play a pretty mean piano.
And we were talking about our good friend, Beyonce. You know, I was the first person to interview Destiny's Child, and I remind Beyonce of that at the Super Bowl. She invited me backstage. She offered me some wine. I declined. I'm off that stuff. I've conquered my personal demons. Have you conquered yours?
Hey, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Get some help. That's all I can tell you.
I think the report's
an open letter.
All right.
Get some help.
All right.
Pat's 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's Valentine's Day, and again, for you, the ladies, the most romantic man in the world, actor Ken Marino, joins us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show, the star of Burning Love at burninglove.com.
Hey,
Ken. How are you, man?
I'm good. Happy Valentine's Day.
It won't spoil anything, I hope, if you tell us what does a guy like you do for his beautiful bride on a day like
tonight,
today?
Tonight, we have a very romantic date set up. We're going to order some pizza, sit on the couch with the kids, and watch Singing in the Rain. Isn't that beautiful?
No,
sexy.
For reals?
Yeah, for reals.
No, that sounds terrible.
Is that
your special movie between you two? Is that the one you like the most as the most romantic film?
No, that's just the one that we know we can watch with the kids and that we can bear. Like we don't want to watch VeggieTales tonight.
Yeah.
So we're gonna watch. We're going to watch something that both we enjoy and the children enjoy.
Isn't it funny when you're a parent how you really, really seek out those shows that you can watch together with them that don't drive you crazy?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why when you when a kid's movie comes out that actually
appeals to adults,
it's quite wonderful.
Throw a party.
Now, have your kids seen the Saw movies yet? Because, I mean, I would suggest that something like that is fun for the whole
family.
We
went through most of them, but they got kind of tired. It got a little derivative. Well, my five-year-old said, like, after four, it got derivative. So.
Yeah, understandable. All right, well, the reason you're here is because Burning Love is back. And I have to be honest, as much as we loved Burning Love, and we had you in a couple times to talk about it when it was running on Yahoo.
I'm sorry I was late, by the way.
I couldn't. I was surprised, frankly, that it came back just because there are so many big stars involved that I thought you'd never get the schedules together and people couldn't afford to pay that many stars.
Right. Well, the key is don't pay anybody. Right.
Okay. Good.
And then you know you have to basically have a lot of dirt on a lot of comedians in this town. And hold it up, you know, hold it against them.
That doesn't seem like a long-term business model that will.
No. I'm going to crash and burn probably this year, okay, 2013.
Bring people up to speed with Burning Love who may have missed it the first go-round. Like, where did the whole thing come from and how did it unfold?
Well, my wife and I enjoy ourselves some reality. And my wife, Erica Oyama, wrote a short. Just to do it, and we were going to shoot it. Adam Scott and I were going to shoot it, and then upon reading it, I was like, "Let's try to do a series. Let's do a web series, or let's try to do a series." And then I was like, "Well, let's do a web series, so we don't have a lot of people telling us what to do." And then we did that, and we were lucky enough to get into business with Paramount and Yahoo and Stiller's company, Red Hour and Abominable.
Now, is season one coming to TV now?
Season one, just got picked up for picked up by E, and so
awesome.
that comes out I think the 25th or the 23rd. I should know this.
Let me look.
It is the 25th. It's
the 25th. It comes out the 25th.
That's awesome. This is in no way what you were expecting. You never thought this would see the light of television.
I mean, I feel like you're leading the witness, but that is true. I did not expect it. We just shot it for fun, and we thought it would be a.
In a way, you just shot it for fun.
In a way, we shot it for fun.
Tell us the grueling shooting schedule that you had, which is not a joke. This is crazy.
Well, we the first season we shot in 8 days, and it was, you know, about three hours of content, and it was 130 pages of material. So I like to look at it as we shot a movie in 8 days.
Okay.
And then the second season, we were a little more ambitious. We shot 260 pages. Plus about another probably 50% of pages of improv in 18 days. So that's basically we shot like 18 pages a day.
Is that because of the actors' schedules? It's just hard to get everybody together for much longer?
It's the budget. It's not a big budget show. And then the way you get really funny people who are working a lot to do your show is to say, well, you only have to come in for a day or half a day or
an hour,
and that's kind of what we did.
I remember when before the Burning Love season one debuted, I thought, well, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette have gotten so far out, they've gotten so crazy that it would be impossible to parody. But you figured out a way to do it. If somebody shows up on The Bachelor who wears a mask because she doesn't want her personality, you know, she doesn't want her looks to get the way of her personality, you trumped that by putting Jennifer Aniston in a panda suit. I mean, you did figure out a way to take it to the next level, which was crazy.
Well, my wife is very in touch with that show and kind of
with The Bachelor,
of those shows and just understands the nuances of them really, really well, and so she writes it really well, and I think all you have to do on a show like that is to kind of just goose it about 10%, because you don't have to get too absurd with it. It's already pretty too ridiculous.
So let me just recap. So your wife writes it.
Yes.
You shoot it in 18 days. You don't pay anyone.
That's right.
What do you do?
I just, as I said, I just kind of show up. Oh, I said this off mic. I just show up drunk.
Okay. All right. That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strangely enough.
Yeah. We have.
That works out.
So season two, episode one premieres today on burninglove.com. That's
where
people can see them. And here's, before we take a break with our guest, Ken Marino, here's what you need to know according to the press release. There's romance, bromance, chemistry, physical attraction, broing out, wrestle fights, fist fights, word fights, cross-dressing, fireside chats, intrigue, surprise exit, surprise returns, impressions, communications, hurt feelings, insecurities, convertibles, tears, testosterone surges, bust throwing, undering, and feelings. It's the most romantic web series that will ever be, and it continues today.
And a surprise twist you'll never see coming.
There was more than what Bean said? Go to burninglove.com if you'd like to see that. We'll be right back with Ken Marino. Gotta be honest, Ken Marino. I don't. I didn't recognize some of those drum moves that you were doing during that Sublime song.
Well, yeah,
you were reaching for the sky. I don't know what that was. There's no hi hat that high. There's no cymbal. No,
that's air drumming.
It was straight above your head.
Listen, I appreciate the honesty.
Okay, all right. It's the world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Actor Ken Marino is here, one of our very favorite guests, because sometimes he brings alcohol when he appears.
Ew.
He is, of course, the one of the geniuses, along with his beautiful bride, behind Burning Love at burninglove.com, with season 2 premiering today. It's kind of a take on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Here's an idea. I think this will give you a pretty good idea of what season 2 is all about.
This season on Burning Love.
Julie, the last time you were here, you were competing for the guy.
Is there anything that I could have done differently?
Probably. This time, the guys are competing for you. How does that feel?
Feels a lot better.
Can I smell you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you smell just like music.
These guys are like the brothers I never had. Congo line!
Those guys are all dumb idiots and I hate them.
What about a bunch of adults making puppets is dumb?
It's an excellent question.
Yeah.
Ken,
we answer that question on the show.
Do you? Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the great cast members and who they play on Burning Love 2. Starting with Michael Ian Black. Now, he's the host of the show. He's back as Bill. Tell us about Bill.
Bill Tundle, the host of the show. He's Michael Ian Black. He's one of the funniest guys around. And I've worked with him on The State, and
we know who Michael Ian Black
okay,
is. We
I
love him
know.
Too. But
know.
Tell us about Bill. Like he hates his job, right? Or does he love it?
He doesn't. I mean, he distances himself from his work. You can always tell that he considers himself to be a little bit more evolved than the rest of the people he's working with.
This show's not going to go on his IMDb.
No, it definitely will go on his IMDb. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the only thing on his IMDb.
All right.
But then in season 3, actually, he lets his hair down a little bit. And
he doesn't have
hair. Metaphorically. He loosens up a little bit. And it's really, he's all over that season as
Wait,
well.
Wait, season... I thought we were on season 2.
We shot season 2. Season 2 is premiering today, but
okay.
We shot season 2 and 3 back-to-back.
Oh.
Sort of like Lord of the Rings or
wow.
Back to the Future.
Wow.
Yeah.
I see.
So season 2 will roll out. Is that what the kids say?
That's how they say it.
Yeah.
And
then
right after that, season 3 will happen. And season 3 is sort of like Bachelor Pad. All the contestants are competing for $900.
Love it. Real quick, I want to run through some of the bachelors, and you tell me a little bit about them, because I think it sounds like you got an awesome assortment of people. Jerry O'Connell plays Henry. He's the good one.
He's the good one. He just seems like the perfect guy for Julie. But I just want to say that June Diane Raphael is the bachelorette, and she was one of the contestants the first season. She's incredible this season. And I'm very proud of the first season, but like what she does this season is, I think, just
even
amazing.
Better.
Yeah,
can't
I think
wait.
This is,
can't wait.
Yeah, she's great.
Your friend Adam Scott is playing Damien. He's a former therapist.
He was my therapist in season 1, and now he's come back to compete for Julie's heart. He no longer can practice. Whatever it is he does.
Because it turned out he didn't have a license.
He didn't have a license, no. So now he can just talk about affairs of the heart.
Michael Cera is playing Wally. What's Wally's damage?
Jolly Wally. Jolly Wally is looking for a best friend, and he's severely allergic to nuts.
Okay. Yours or everybody's?
Everybody's.
Yeah. Colin Hanks. His name is Allison?
His name is Allison. He has a girl's name. Which doesn't bode well with the other guys in the mansion, and he is a guy who likes fancy things and likes to talk about that. He doesn't. He's not a fan of the other guys because they're not as sophisticated as himself.
Gotcha. A couple more. Imagine all of these people on one show vying for the affections of one woman. Paul Scheer plays Robbie Z. Now, he's the fun one, which I totally get.
He's a Robbie Z. His name's Robbie Z, Robbie Z, Robbie Z, Robbie Z, Z, Z. He's a party motivator. And and all the guys in the mansion kind of like him more than Julie. He's just fun to be around.
And Adam Brody, he plays Max.
Yes, he's hoping that Julie's Jewish. It doesn't matter, but it would be great if she was Jewish.
Sure. It would help with his parents.
It would help with his parents.
Oh, I can't wait. So I don't have to wait. You're telling me I can go to burninglove.com right now and watch it.
You could watch it last night. You could watch it.
Oh, why didn't you tell us?
I tried to, but you guys were sleeping.
What, you should be calling us.
How often are the new ones? Every week?
I think we have two tonight and then one tomorrow. And then at that point, every week it's one on Thursday, one on Friday. That's how they roll out, guys.
Good. You're making it difficult to keep track of.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Every Thursday and Friday, there's a new episode.
Thursday and Friday. Okay.
And then season one of Burning Love is going to be premiering on Monday night, February 25th at 10 on the E! Channel. Trust us when we tell you that it's great, first of all. If you like Children's Hospital, then this show is the perfect companion piece to that.
Right? That's right.
I mean, they're very, very similar in their sensibilities and their cast as well.
That's correct. If you like comedy, you'll like Burning Love.
What if they don't like comedy?
If you don't like comedy, but you like reality, you'll love Burning Love.
There you go.
Good enough.
It sounded like you were going to say something else.
No, that was it. I was just swallowing some spit.
I thought we were done too.
Ken Marino, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Burning.
By the way, just after 9 o'clock, we're going to give you another chance to qualify for the trip to Buenos Aires, Argentina. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number 5. We're giving away the Killers' latest album called Battleborn, which is great. And then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing to win that deal. Details at KRock.com. And while you're on KRock.com, be sure to check out the Harlem Shake video. Yes, we at K-Rock made our own video yesterday. It does involve a panda bear mounting a ping pong table, and it's definitely worth checking out at KevinBean.com or KRock.com.
And we have a brand new internet roundup in about a half hour. The last internet roundup, we featured Kai, the homeless, hitchhiking, hatchet-wielding dude.
Yes.
Remember, there was some kind of an accident. A guy was claiming he was Jesus. He tried to kill a guy who was black because he said he needed to die.
Right, right.
Totally racist dude. And Kai was the guy that he had picked up along the road. He was a hitchhiker, and he's the guy that saved the day. And this is his interview from that news piece.
Comes driving down this way. He's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ, and I can do anything I want to. And watch this. Bam! And he smashed into this guy right there, pinned him in between that truck. If he had started driving that car around again, man, there would have been a hell of a lot of bodies around here. And these two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. Like, a guy that big can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So ran up behind him with a hatchet, smash, smash, smash.
The best interview subject ever.
He's incredible. He was TV news gold. So America fell in love with him, of course, and we did as well. And Jimmy Kimmel got the first interview with Kai on national television, which I was very happy to see. And I thought, what's this Kai guy really like? Because we saw him in one moment on one day after an incredibly exciting thing had happened. And I mean, he was full adrenaline in that interview,
adrenaline,
right?
Adrenaline and who knows what else.
Yeah.
Looking
at
him.
Exactly. So I thought it might be fun to play just a little bit of Jimmy's interview this week that he did with Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker, and see what kind of guy he is.
Well, welcome, Kai. Welcome. How are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, thank you. You know, a lot of people are calling you a hero because you thwarted that crazy guy, right?
Well, there's not so much difference between him and who they sell as Jesus anyways, is there?
Now, one of the things that I learned about Kai...
Wait. What?
There's not so much difference between that guy who claimed he was Jesus and the real Jesus anyway. Kai spends a lot of time thinking, I think, and comes to a lot of unsupportable conclusions. And I think that's a theme that you're going to find out in this interview that he did with our man Jimmy.
You've become very famous now from YouTube, haven't you? I mean, people are recognizing you.
Yeah.
What do people say to you when they see you?
They say... Hey, you're Kai. You're that dude with the hatchet. I'm like, not anymore. Took it from me. I was trying to build this really cool-ass treehouse with...
Okay, so Kai doesn't have the hatchet anymore. And listen to the explanation of what his plans were for the hatchet before they took it away. And I don't know who took it away or why they took it away. Because he wasn't... It's not like they kept it for because it was involved in a crime
or anything
like that.
Well, maybe the police on scene... He did hit the guy with it 3 times.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So sadness in Kai's life with no hatchet because he can't carry out his plan.
I was trying to build this really cool-ass treehouse with willow hoops, and like I was going to make a dream catcher out of it and put wood planks on the floor.
Right.
And then have another little hoop above with the chains dangling down beneath that one, tied up to a tree so I could drape tarps across that.
Right.
And then on the inside, have like some bed sheets with some moss in there for insulation. You can put like a crab trap there on the inside of a... inside of a hot water tank heater.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can burn some wood in there. That would be really awesome to go surfing like
and
that.
And you were going
to
do all that with a hatchet? What, is this some magic hatchet that you have that you wave and things, contractors appear?
No, I'm just a badass.
So what's the first of all, by the way, who wants to burn wood inside a treehouse, and what does that have to do with going surfing? I mean, he lost me so many times in the course of that story.
It'd be so cool to go surfing like that. I was like, what are you talking about? You're talking about a treehouse. You're gonna take a treehouse surfing?
So what's the deal? Is he a burnout?
Yes.
Or is he just high on life? Is he just a hippie? I can't figure Kai out. What do you think?
I would guess so much weed.
Really?
Burnout.
That's what's going on here?
I think. I mean, he sounds like he's in a constant state of too high.
Yeah, he does sound like he's enjoyed his life, though. And Jimmy goes on with Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker.
They describe you in the video as homeless hitchhiker, but you don't like to use the word homeless.
Home free.
Home free.
It's the land of the free and the home of the brave.
You don't want to have a home, correct?
What the hell are you talking about? I am home.
Yeah, I see. So anywhere you are is your home. Is that's your philosophy?
Yeah.
Jimmy's trying to have conversation with him as if he's not crazy.
Right, right. Doesn't he remind you of the double rainbow guy from last year who just is in at one with the earth and is just in love with life and just he's just happy about every – I mean, look, we can mock this guy and say he's crazy and we'd never want to have no possessions and live in a treehouse or whatever the hell he's doing.
And surf in the treehouse.
He seems super happy, though. He seems like he's really getting a lot out of his life, doesn't he?
You do look at the guy and go, I wish I was that happy.
Right, exactly.
This afternoon, I gave you some money just for the hell of it. And what did you do with that money?
The hell of it.
I'll tell you what he did. He gave the money away immediately to someone on the street.
What? Yeah, I mean, the quickest way to devalue a currency is stop believing in it.
The quickest way to devalue a currency, guys, according to Kai, is to stop believing in it.
So he thinks if he doesn't start buying into the man's idea of money?
Yes. What? He chooses not to step up and jump on the rat race with the rest of us. So he gets something. He gives it away.
Well, I think you did it just to be nice. Isn't that true? I mean, to help people? You gave away your backpack that had all your belongings in it.
Well, no, I feel belonging with people, and, you know, like, the trees are more people and they're still alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, the trees are more people and they're still alive. Kai.
Wait, trees are more people?
And they're still alive, yes. That's Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker, in his first and final appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
I love him so much.
Smash, smash, smash!
I don't have the strength.
Come on, Ralph. You can
What's
do it.
Wrong, Ralph? Come on.
I was filming the sitcom pilot to like, I didn't have to like midnight last night. I grab a nap. I wake up. I come in. And I just don't have the strength for it today.
He's got his head back. His eyes are closed.
Just tired.
He's tired of certain things, I think.
I'm just tired. I'm tired of being raping my ears.
How dare you? How dare you? We're all good.
I'm just winded. I feel like
who's all good? Bean.
But we boys, Ralph. But we boys.
We ain't boys.
You can't speak for anyone else. None of us are good.
I was in Waco, Texas for the Dr. Pepper Museum. Those were words that came out of your pie.
I didn't bring up Waco. Kevin brought up Waco, all right? And I just happened to mention that that's why I went, was because of the Dr. Pepper Museum, which is awesome, by the way. All right, let's move on. 8:54, brand new internet roundup after the top of the hour. First, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I sure would hate for there to be some kind of technical glitch where we can't hear you off the air.
That could never happen.
That would really be bad.
That could never happen. We have flawless technology here.
That's correct.
In the studios of K-Rock. All right, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. You know, if you feel lonely, if you're one of those Lonely Hearts members, Lonely Hearts Club members, and you're sitting there and saying, oh, it's Valentine's Day, and boy, this sucks when you're single, and never, it's the one day of the year I feel most alone, probably Valentine's Day, you're thinking to yourself. Well, celebrities have the answers for you.
Oh, great news.
Viola Davis, talented actress from The Help, is giving out love advice. She tells the New York Post she used to be the loneliest woman in the world.
I went to the Lonely Women Museum once.
Until a friend suggested she pray for a husband.
Oh, no.
She said, I took her advice and asked God for a big black man from the South who looked like a football player that already had children. 3 weeks later, her wish was granted when she met former college football player Julius Tenen. They've been married since 2003. And lived happily ever after since. So see, lonely people, lazy lonely people, get off your fat asses and start praying.
pray for a mate, and then it will happen. You will get it, just like Viola Davis did.
Huh.
That's strange. That's a little weird.
Isn't that sort of a... Look, I'm not one to denigrate anyone's religion. You can believe in a wizard in the sky all you want. But I'm just saying, isn't that almost irresponsible to tell people, well, just pray for a husband, then you won't be lonely anymore. If you're lonely, just pray, and then someone will wonderful will walk into your life. That's just setting people up for just massive disappointment, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think so.
It'd be like someone saying, if you drink this colored water, all your problems will go away.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it's just not that simple.
Do you see that picture about Valentine's Day that said, don't worry, nobody cares about you the other 364 days a year either?
That's right, yes.
It's not so bad.
So sad, but true. Speaking of sad, Simon Cowell has announced there will be a new stage musical based on the X Factor reality TV show.
A stage musical?
Yeah. It's going to debut in London's West End in the spring of 2014. Simon says he plans to bring the show to Broadway. It's a story of a woman who is coming from a trailer park, but is blessed with an amazing voice, and she auditions for the X Factor, and her life changes.
That's based on that ugly woman from England.
Susan Boyle. Susan Boyle story, basically, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean that ugly woman. That's all I know.
But she...
I didn't know her name.
No, I could tell you didn't mean that at all.
I thought it was almost complimentary, actually, Kevin.
I'm sure she'd be charmed to hear you refer to her in that way.
I didn't know her name. My bad. I may have been rude.
No, it's magical. So they're going to do an entire Broadway musical based around a similar experience on The X Factor.
All of these ideas are terrible.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
Yeah. More TV news. You know, this is the season now where they start, this pilot season, they're starting to put all the pilots together for the new shows.
Like Denzel Washington in Flight?
No, that would be an airplane pilot.
Different
pilot
kind of pilot.
TV show is different. You. The first of a test show, if you will, for a new series. NBC has announced they have one in development about Count Dracula and his archenemy Professor Van Helsing.
A series?
Yes, a Dracula series. Finally, we can get some vampires in the media.
It is about time.
I've been saying for, 10 years now, why don't we have any vampire movies? Why are there no vampire TV shows? Why don't people see what I see when I see that the opportunity there?
That's a great question, by the way. There's no vampires and there's no zombies. Both of those are completely ignored by the people who make product.
You know who really feels sad is Frankenstein's monster.
Why is that?
Because he's in the corner going,
what about me?
Where me TV show? Fire bad. Where me movie? You know, all these werewolves and vampires and zombies are running around.
Hybrids.
Poor everything Frankenstein. Else. Frankenstein's just lonely like a fat girl on Valentine's Day.
Like Susan Boyle.
It's been cast already. It looks like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers will be playing Count Dracula. The ladies love him.
Sure.
He's the sexy guy from The Tudors.
Right.
Did you watch The Tudors?
I did not.
Do you ever say The Tudors? And Thomas Kretschmann, who starred on ABC's The River last season, will be playing Van Helsing. The series will be set in 1890s London.
The River made a lasting impression on me, I'll tell you.
That was a come-and-goer, wasn't it?
Yeah. But,
here's the nice thing about television. If you are in a pilot, if you start to work, they will just keep putting you in stuff until something sticks.
Well, that's good.
It's often the case. So, good for Thomas. And that's got potential, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's what I was going to say.
Great story.
Even though there's a million vampire projects, if done well, there's plenty of great source material for this one to work, too. I mean, Dracula is a very compelling character and
Dracula
story.
Yeah, Dracula's the OG. I mean,
right.
He's the OG.
Forget your sparkly, or the OV, I guess it would be. But forget your sparkly emo vampires in the forest
and stuff.
This is the real deal right here. So we'll see what happens. Today's celebrity birthdays on this, the 14th of February. Don't forget the R, people. Don't forget the R.
February?
Yes. Jim Jeffries, our buddy, comedian, actor, star of Legit over there on FX. He's 36 years old.
Catch up on that Legit if you haven't.
Boy, is that funny.
Trust us.
Simon Pegg, super talented actor. Love him. Soon to be seen as Scotty again in the next Star Trek movie. 43 years old today. Jules Asner, the lovely TV personality. 45 years old. Teller of Penn & Teller is 65. Florence Henderson is 79. And Pat O'Brien, radio and TV personality, turned 65 years old today.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Florence Henderson. I was one of the first reporters ever to interview the Brady Bunch.
Oh, really, Pat?
Yeah. Bobby was a bit of a handful.
Is that right?
But I tell you, I never got to talk to Alice, and I always regret that. I was telling Sir Paul McCartney the other day while we were jamming in my basement.
How much do you talk to Paul McCartney, Pat?
Well, we're good friends. He loves the way I play the keyboard. You know, I used to be in a band in the 60s.
Heard that.
Yes, you mentioned that,
played
right.
Played a mean keyboard.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Sir Paul. I said, I wish I'd talked to Alice. And he said, who are you?
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
We are going to meet a couple that is addicted to coffee enemas. Four times a day they give themselves, or each other, Kevin. I wasn't clear on that. Coffee enemas.
Oh, no, it's each to themselves. They each do it to themselves.
My Strange Addiction is the show on TLC. We got highlights of that for you coming up in about 50 minutes. First, though, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. It's time for a brand new internet roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
So you go to krock.com or click on Kevin and Bean, or you go to kevinandbean.com. You can see the internet roundup, all of these videos in one place. The first is Marco Rubio, who is a senator from Florida. He had the response to Obama's speech. He had a very, very dry mouth. His mouth was dry.
Look,
there was no moisture.
I feel so bad for this guy because I've, you know, like a lot of people who love to watch politics, I've been following this guy for a long time. He's very bright, very articulate, and very, you know, well-spoken. He comes off great in front of the camera. And I don't know whether it was just nerves or pressure of giving the Republican response to the State of the Union the other night, but he looked so nervous and sweaty and, as you said, dry mouth to the point where he had to leap off – while he was on camera nationally, he had to leap off screen to grab a bottle of water to get something to drink. His mouth was so dry. No one does that.
Only people who smoke too much weed. That's what I get the
dry mouth. There's that, yeah.
So this is somebody who took his response to Obama's speech and edited out all of the words and left in only the lip smacking.
I'm Marco Rubio.
And it's way, 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 way longer than that.
Yeah, he's a lizard.
I'm going to play you somebody. The percussion is what I want you to pay attention here, and I'm going to tell you afterwards exactly what's going on. All right, he's playing drums on girls' naked butts.
Oh, my.
That's what's happening. Bottom percussion, Patax, P-A-T-A-X. And there's four girls, and all you can see is their butts.
They're ass up, facing the pillow.
That's correct.
He's just behind him like he's playing the congos.
He really is. And it looks fantastic. Kate Upton body paint Sports Illustrated swimsuit. Now, I've not heard of this Kate Upton, but she seems like she's a good deal.
The hardest part was by far the necklace. I don't even know.
Wow, she shouldn't say stuff like that.
How they did it. They were taking the strands and connecting it to the other side, taking off paint, putting it back on, layers and layers.
I definitely feel naked because I am.
So Kate Upton is talking about strands of fluid that guys are putting on her chest, and that's in the video at the roundup?
Yes.
Paint, right?
There's actually two different Kate Upton videos, both on the roundup, both worth repeated views, if, in my opinion. This is Obama Goes Ham, and basically crazy, and they dub in a bunch of different words, and they change his lips around so it looks like he's saying this during his speech.
Time for the State of the Union. Last year was whack, but now we got a new one. Fresh out the shrink wrap, and I think that if we try, we can do it. We never thought we could do some. Because our asses aren't quite as broke, and our foreign policies not as much of a joke. Dreaming up imaginary enemies and dropping bombs like we mix mushrooms.
Pretty See, well done. You would finally be interested in the State of the Union if our president rapped it.
Oh, I would watch that in a second, yeah. Mike Realm, world's best remixer, the Hatchet Wielding Remix.
I'm Kai, straight out of Dogtown. Ooh, smash, ooh, smash, ooh, smash, and bam. Ooh, smash, ooh, smash, ooh, smash, and ooh, smash, ooh, smash, ooh, smash, and
said he did it in an hour, by the way.
Unbelievable. But the guy's the best.
Underneath the YouTube thing, he said, it took me an hour. This is from KRTV Montana. It's a news state. Looks like they're doing news, but a zombie attack emergency alert system comes across the screen.
Civil authorities in your area have reported that the bodies of the dead are rising from their graves and attacking the living. Follow the messages on screen that will be updated as information becomes available.
No, this is crazy. They're actually not doing news. They've got an infomercial on how to make perfect pancakes on the air late at night, and some hacker figured out a way to break into the signal and put and activate the emergency activation service or whatever they call it, which is basically, you know, that's for emergencies. That's so to come on and go, hey, there's an avalanche, or hey, there's a hurricane coming, or something like that.
I hope somebody bought it. I hope somebody managed, like, oh my God, wake up, there's zombies.
Right, and they managed to broadcast that zombies were invading Montana, which is just a brilliant use of the airwaves.
We always include our friend.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
Burger King, the fast food giant, admitting the presence of horse in their food.
Maybe you need a gentle nudge. Maybe you need a big in the.
So you got that going on. That's a lot longer as well. The next one is, we're doing the internet roundup, by the way, kevinandbean.com. You can see all of these videos together. This one is called She Said No, and it's a jewelry store that finally has a 30-day return policy, just in case.
This Valentine's Day, I'm making us forever. But she's really busy right now.
Thomas Jewelers is the only store with a 30-day return policy. Perfect for the guy trying to lock down the successful, independent woman in his life.
So you can buy the ring, and then if it's not needed at that moment,
it's a good idea.
You know, take it back.
Just good sense. Who wants to be stuck with an engagement ring if she says no?
Will you be my Valentine, crazy-eyed girl?
Roses are red, violets are blue. Be my Valentine, I'm waiting for you. Blood is red, bruises are blue. Don't say no.
Okay, all right.
Overly attached girlfriend will kill someone at some point. No one will be surprised.
And this is Screen Junkie's Honest Trailers. They take a look at The Notebook, because, of course, it's Valentine's Day, and that's supposed to be a romantic movie. But they give an honest trailer about it.
When these two find each other, he'll criticize her for being a pushover and then constantly tell her what to do.
Get in the water! Get in! Get in the water!
And she will abandon him on numerous occasions. Together, they'll be so indecisive, you'll wonder why they're even trying.
I love him.
I love him.
I hate you. I hate you.
I love him.
Now I hate you. I need you to tell him that I love him.
If you leave here, I hate you.
Do you guys love each other?
Look at us. We're already fighting.
Well, that's what we do.
That movie sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. That's Screen Junkie's Honest Trailers of The Notebook. It is Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet.
Dear Kevin and Beans, David writes in, I actually know some people who run a business where they give coffee enemas. They say it's great. I also have some friends in San Diego who know a group of women that do it every single week. I think I'm going to try it. You know what, David? I think I'm not going to try it.
I think you go ahead. You go ahead and do whatever you need to
Look,
do.
There's no other way you can get coffee into your body, guys. What are you talking about? You're ridiculous. How are you going to have a cup of coffee?
I've snorted
unless
it.
Unless you put it in your rectum.
This might be easier than snorting, though. So,
Ralph, I didn't see the show that Kevin watched last night, and he didn't know the answer, so I'll ask you, because you're familiar with all sorts of things going in and out. What is coffee, is that the only thing you can use besides, you know, saline solution or whatever they sell for normal medical procedures?
No,
is there something special about coffee?
With any fluid. The thing is, here's the thing. If you put any sort of drug into your rectum, the tissue of the colon and that region, the intestine, it is quick to absorb,
right?
Whatever
right.
you have, I mean, it's built to absorb nutrients and things.
So you get a shot of adrenaline or something, or
so you get you
the
get
caffeine.
You get the caffeine, but you get it in an increased, more direct, more efficient delivery system than having it go into your stomach and being broken down then into your bloodstream. You're putting the caffeine right into your bloodstream by doing the enema.
Then this girl knew nothing, because she explained last night on the show that if you drink a lot of coffee, it destroys all of your innards.
Well, it does hit your stomach. It's very acidic for your stomach and stuff.
But if you do it the other way, it's perfectly healthy.
Well, it's not perfectly healthy, but it's not as potentially damaging than it is to your stomach.
So what you're talking about
it's like
is similar.
They do the alcohol enemas.
Exactly. I was going to say the vodka chugging.
Wine.
This is similar to butt chugging vodka,
Some people do it with wine. A wine enema will get you loaded so quickly because it's being absorbed
what
directly
kind of rush are you in?
Into the bloodstream
you know?
Versus going into the stomach, being broken down, and then being
assimilated
into the bloodstream.
I'm with Kevin. What's the rush? Why not enjoy getting drunk?
I don't want to go from zero to 60 in 1 second.
I wouldn't either. I enjoy the process. I enjoy having a cocktail and just loosening up.
You don't need cheap high quick death. There's enough of that in life.
These people are getting so much caffeine, so energized by the coffee. I guess they're getting addicted to that rush, to get addicted to that high.
Mom warned them off.
Or something like
doctor warned them off. They don't care.
It's not good.
No.
They need to try Four Loko or Red Bull or something like that. Try giving that kind of enema. That'd be crazy, right?
Or Scissorp.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to try that today.
All right.
Rectal Scissor.
941, it's Thursday. It's 941, and Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin Amin Show.
Speaking of asses, porn star Kim Kardashian's in the news. Did you hear about this? Did you hear this effing story?
Yes. Crazy. Craziness.
I didn't hear it.
They're coming back from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on Sunday.
Okay.
They were checking out the Carnival celebration. And so they fly back from Brazil to JFK Airport in New York City. And they have a connecting flight to LAX. And an American Airlines employee sees them and says, "Oh, well, you don't have to worry about the TSA screening. Just come with me and I'll walk you around the back way and we'll just get you to the jetway and you'll get on your plane."
What?
So the TSA catches wind of this and says, "Nuh-uh."
Did they say
that was their official statement?
Wow.
They board the plane and pull Kanye and Kim off of the plane.
Love it.
To give them a security check. That would be great news, right?
Yeah.
Except for the fact that while they were giving them the once-over in the jetway area, American Airlines held the flight for them.
Oh.
So for 50 minutes, for almost an hour, everybody who was on that plane got jammed up and was just sitting on the tarmac waiting for them to get through with their investigation.
Wow.
There was a lot of frisking going on with Kim with that 50 minutes.
I don't know. You look like you're packing about 28 pounds of plastic explosives back here in your hind region. We're going to have to run some tests. I'm going to need a punch biopsy.
I kind of can't blame Kim and Kanye for this one.
Well, they were invited by the employee, apparently.
Right. I mean, if they come to you and they say, "Look, I know you have a tight connection here at the airport. Let me personally escort you around security so you can get on your plane and not miss it," you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who wouldn't take that deal.
I'd do it, but they would never offer that to us, you know?
Yeah, but really, it's the employee's fault for offering it more so than it is them saying it. So as much as I hate them, it's kind of hard.
Minutes.
It's not like they went up there and said, "I can't possibly go through this security. Take me to the back." You know, they didn't demand it.
Yeah.
It was offered to them.
But they were the ones who, I'm sure, were getting the stink eye from all the other passengers when the plane finally took off, though.
I know. Good. See? Something good came out of it. They get the stink eye.
Out of the 50 minutes, 1 minute was Kanye, 49, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I don't know. You got hefty bags of something up here. Mm. We need to search those for you.
I need a second opinion. Come on in here, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's Bill.
Well, you know.
It's the only name I can think of.
Bill. William Shatner did a very funny interview about the fact that J.J. Abrams is going to be taking over both the Star Wars and Star Trek film franchises. He told MovieFanatic.com, "He's being a pig."
He's being a pig?
Yeah. He says, I mean, he's close. Yeah, I mean, he's collecting the two franchises and holding them close to his vest. He'll probably have the most talented director. He's probably the most talented director of that ilk we have, but this time he's gone too far.
Is he kidding or is he serious?
Yeah, he's kidding. He's absolutely kidding, yeah. He said, "I think of him as a buddy of mine. I've taken him out for sushi. I think it's time to take JJ out for more sushi and put him straight about the two largest franchises and how not employing me in either one of them is just foolhardy." So Bill's got a good sense of humor, but it is still remarkable. This guy...
That's crazy good.
He's got it all.
And it's in the hands of the right... You know, both fans of both movies are happy about this,
yeah,
it seems.
Very much so. Lawrence Kasdan, by the way, who apparently is working on the script for the next Star Wars movie, has confirmed that plans for Disney are to do not only a next Star Wars, but a Boba Fett, a Yoda, and a young Han Solo film separate. So we're going to have about 18 Star Wars movies in the next year.
All right.
Hey, get the right people around those movies, like the Boba Fett movie. Doesn't that sound like it could be great?
Absolutely. And I would like to play a young Han Solo.
Yeah, we all would.
No, I'm saying I could do it because I got the Harrison Ford down. That's why.
Oh.
Oh, that is true.
That's true.
Greedo.
But did he talk like that when he was a kid?
Boba. Jabba the Hutt. Come on. Come on, kid. Let's blow this thing. Go.
Sounds like you're ready.
Damn, right. I've been working. Alec Baldwin's going to have a baby. Well, not him. That'd be interesting if he was. But his new wife, Hilaria, is pregnant with her child. He's in his late 50s, and he's going to be a dad. What's the story? This week, everybody's having babies.
All old people.
All old dudes are having babies. And we still haven't gotten to the bottom of this whole David Hasselhoff's daughter, Haley Hasselhoff, thing.
I thought we did get to the bottom of it. You were angry earlier.
I've been trading emails with Haley Hasselhoff's PR person, the lovely Mona Loring.
I'm sorry, the lovely?
The lovely and talented Mona Loring.
It's funny you didn't say that 2 hours ago.
Well, you know, she's been very cordial and very sort of respectful and pleasant during this whole interchange we've been having. And she says there's a side of the story we're not hearing. There's more to this story.
Take us back to the beginning.
Well, I said earlier in the week that it came to light that Hasselhoff's daughter, Haley, had been charged with a DUI the beginning of January.
Okay.
And then Haley Hasselhoff, not only via her PR person to me, but went on Entertainment Tonight, I believe, and said, the press should get their facts right, and they're making stuff up, and I'm used to them lying about our family, and I was not charged with a DUI.
Okay.
Then, yesterday, E! News obtained the actual criminal complaint, the court document, which says clearly, in black and white, that she has officially been charged with a DUI and with speeding by the Los Angeles City Attorney.
And by the way, Ralph, you skipped over the part where you magnanimously went on, took full responsibility for the error, and apologized to the Hasselhoff family for disseminating incorrect information.
I sent them a fruit basket.
Yeah,
you did. That's how bad I felt. And so then I said today that she did get charged with a DUI. Then I heard again from the lovely and talented Miss Mona Loring, who said, "You know, it's not true. I did not lie to you. You don't know the whole story. There's more to come."
Well, what could be more? That's in the paper.
Isn't
that in the official record now, in the official police
report?
Now,
I'm thinking maybe, is there some sort of, is it a technicality perhaps? Maybe it's she was on some medication, maybe it was prescription medication or something, versus being drunk or high or something, that maybe there's a loophole of some kind?
She can have a defense why she thinks it was an incorrect charge, but she can't argue with you announcing as fact that she was charged.
Yeah, I mean, the documents do state that she has been charged with DUI and with speeding. So, and she did go on Entertainment Tonight, and the quote was, "I did not get charged with a DUI."
But she did kill a dude, right?
Well, we know that for
that's
sure.
That's a fact.
Absolutely.
Not true at all. That is a complete falsehood.
It's well known that she was an accomplice of Dornan.
That is not even
that. That was proven.
That's made up out of whole cloth.
Where do you get the whole cloth? Because I can only find the 2% cloth.
I don't know.
I've been looking around for that everywhere, and it's hard to find.
I don't know.
Maybe you have to go to the farm.
Could be.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jim Jeffries, our good friend, comedian, actor, bon vivant, man about town, star of Legit on FX. He's 36 years old today. Simon Pegg from Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol recently. He's going to be Scotty in the next Star Trek movie. Funny guy and talented actor, 43 years old. Jules Asner is 45 years old. Teller of Penn, Teller, is 65. Florence Henderson turns 79 years old today. And TV and radio personality Pat O'Brien celebrates his 65th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. That means we have the movie beat. We also have your chance to qualify for K-Rock's World Tour 2013. Stop number 5 is The Killers in Buenos Aires. Every time I say it, it sounds wrong.
Does sound weird when you say it for some reason.
And I could be saying it right.
It could
be. Still,
absolutely.
The fact that I'm saying. Chris Hardwick is going to be on the program tomorrow. And the lovely and beautiful Sasha Gray will be on the program tomorrow. And the lovely and beautiful Phil Kogan will be on the show tomorrow as well. Stop making that face, Ralph. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.